Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, from high atop the ice surface at MTS Center. We welcome you to the Illegal Curve post-game podcast. I'm your host, Drew Mindell, joined in the press box by analyst Richard Pollock and producer Michael Remus. The Winnipeg Jets just defeated the Colorado Avalanche 2-1 in overtime this afternoon here at MTS Center, giving the Jets a little bit of a better feeling to end this five-game homestand that has been ultimately disappointing given the competition, a record of 2 wins and 3 losses. A game they needed to have today that they did end up having in overtime wasn't the prettiest game or the most exciting game for the 64 and a half minutes that it took on this Sunday afternoon, Richard.
Yeah, you know, Drew, that, yeah, exactly. It wasn't the most exciting game you're ever going to see, but I thought the Jets played pretty well.
It was a lot of neutral zone or outer edges of the offensive defensive zone play, so it wasn't action packed by any means, and certainly the overtime had more action than the 60 minutes of regular time. But the Jets kind of have to play that way to be successful. That's what I take from this game is, and I'm assuming Paul Maurice has been trying to get this through to them, is you have to play a simple game. You can't make stupid reads in the neutral zone like last game. You can't pinch when you're not supposed to. You can't force offense, and you have to support your goaltender, clear rebounds, all those things that you, to be able to compete, because you don't have the talent. You have to be able to sell that to the players, and today the players played that way, and Colorado didn't look impressive, and credit to the Jets for part of that. And the other, you have to question Colorado's needs to have their top two lines going, because their bottom two lines can't generate any offense.
Well, that's what I wanted to ask you about. Yeah. We'll talk about the goals that happened, the three goals in today's game momentarily, but your thoughts on Colorado as a whole, they seem out of sorts.
Yeah, they're a little bit out of sorts. I mean, you lose Eric Johnson in the middle of the game, that hurts.
Yeah, after he took a big body check, was very slow to get up, and we didn't see him for the rest of the game.
But, Drew, your top two guys are Johnson, Barry. You need help on the left side for sure, and I'm sure they'll want to address that. Jan Hayda is a solid stay-at-home guy. He's not a great skater. Brad Stewart's lost a step. And then you're looking at Nick Holden, again, not your best skater, and Zach Redmond. Well, Jets fans have seen him, so they know what he's all about. So, your depth on defense isn't very good, and then your talent on defense isn't very good. Sorry, and the depth isn't great. Unless your two lines are going, and the Duchesne line was going in the first, and they were generating chances.
Right.
Duchesne, Tanguay, and Ginlaw.
That was the best line for the Avs today by far.
It was, but the MacKinnon, O'Reilly, and Landeskog line, aside from a chance or two, was the Landeskog chance when he muscled Scheifele off the puck.
And he had the breakaway in overtime, but of course that's 4-on-4, so it's a different animal altogether.
Yeah, 5-on-5, they weren't generating anything.
No, so. I was not impressed the least bit with Nathan MacKinnon.
Invisible today.
Yeah, when we saw him here last year, you noticed him on the ice pretty much on the majority of the shifts.
Well, not playing with Paul Stastny is an issue, getting comfortable, and there's other aspects that I'm surprised, by the way, he's playing first of all. I mean, what does he have now? No points today. So is that, 4 points in 9 games? Yeah, I mean, he's way too talented for that. And maybe they switch up the lines again. I don't know. Maybe they try and put Duchesne with MacKinnon and load it up with speed and pace. I did think that, again, at times, the problem, granted, he excels as a trailer because he takes a lot of one-timers and things like that. But you could argue, okay, maybe they want to cycle the puck a little more with the Ginla's line, and Tanguay and Duchesne aren't going to be a cycle guys. Maybe they put him with O'Reilly, Landeskog, O'Reilly in the middle. I don't know if they've tried this because I haven't watched a lot of Colorado. Like, theoretically, if you think, okay, so Landeskog, big guy, O'Reilly, big guy, Ginla, big guy, they'll start the cycle, MacKinnon with Duchesne and Tanguay. Then what you could have there is you have Tanguay not playing on the wrong side, which he usually doesn't play on. And you can have a speed line and a skill line, and a size line.
Would you move MacKinnon out of center? Is that too soon?
No. Well, on that basis, I would, just because I think Duchesne would be better at center than MacKinnon would, and it takes less pressure. It takes more pressure off of him.
So. Right.
Yeah, I mean, that's one combination I would try. But those bottom two lines aren't going to do much, right? So you really got to get going.
Right, the bottom two lines for Colorado today, Jamie McGinn, John Mitchell, Maxime Talbot. And
McGinn scored today, granted. That was a power play goal.
That's right, that was a power play goal. Cody McLeod, Marc-Andre Cliche, and Danny Briere didn't notice really any of the bottom two lines, with the exception of McGinn when he scored on the power play. Let's get into the goals. The Jets opened the scoring at the 6:25 mark of the first period. Andrew Ladd gets the goal. It's his second of the season. It's also his 100th career goal with the Jets/Thrashers organization. Assists on that goal go to Zach Bogosian and Michael Frolik. good smart shot by Zach Bogosian from the point. Ladd in front of Varlamov causing trouble. Nice little tip. It's 1-0.
Yeah, I mean, that's really the goal, Drew. I mean,
you just take the rest of the show off.
yeah, but that is, I mean, it's simple hockey. Again, this is simple hockey, not stupid, hard shots that miss the net and things like that. What you're doing here is Bogosian's taking the puck, putting a soft wrister on net, and a tippable shot. It goes on net or close to, you know, going to be on net. Ladd tips it. He's in front of the net, going to dirty areas, tips in. It's a simple goal, but it's something the Jets need to rely on more. And I thought the Jets, you know, they had a lot of chances. They missed the net tonight. They have to start putting that puck on the net.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple of times they were a little bit too fancy. Be simple. You're not good enough to be a complicated team. And if you play a simple game, you will have more success.
You mentioned that they missed the net a lot. And that's one thing we noticed from up here in the press box is the number of times the Jets really were in good scoring opportunities, in the scoring zone, if you will. And they would take solid shots. And they just seemed to miss the net consistently today. I'm curious on that.
Had a good chance, missing that. Little missed a little fan on a couple, but I thought Ladd was really good today. I thought Little was even better. They're both really good, and that's important for this team.
Yeah, Dustin Byfuglien, talk about his game today.
He's dominant. I mean, you know, those were the three guys that caught my eye for sure. Is Ladd, Little, and Byfuglien. Byfuglien was, I mean, he annihilated. Who was it in the corner? I'm forgetting who he annihilated.
John Mitchell, I believe.
No, John Mitchell came in after, I thought. Because him and Mitchell got the penalty.
Tyson Barrie. He laid out Tyson Barrie. You'll see it on all the highlight shows. Yeah, and then John Mitchell went after him.
But he just played with force, confidence. He got the crowd into it. He was going on the perimeter. He was going, you know, using his speed, getting going, making plays. Just, I mean, a bunch of scouts here with us watching the game. And they're going back to their management teams and saying, hey, I mean, this guy plays like that all the time. He's a big force for the next two seasons for us and could be a big playoff factor. I thought he was really good. And if you're looking at it from a big picture perspective, which I am right now, I think that he's increasing his value immensely right now in the market. The last two games, granted. Again, only two games. But when he's engaged, and I know it's an asterisk there, it's a different game for the Jets, too. It gives them a size, a physicality they don't usually have. The thing about Byfuglien is you'll go games where he doesn't really play that physical, and you think to yourself, well, if he can play like that every night, it changes the complexion of the Jets.
He actually did, and they had shuffled the lines before the game. Yeah. He played on the quote-unquote third line with Chris Thorburn and Adam Lowry.
And I was talking to Rick Ralph about that during the second intermission when we were on the air, and he said, you know, they're trying to go for size. They're trying to go for cycle game. And that's kind of what I'm talking about with O'Reilly and those guys on another line in Colorado, for example, is what you're doing is you're creating a size line. I know Thorburn had a good chance in the first there, but Lowry and Thorburn aren't talented enough to play with Buff. But based on the situation right now and the lines and the injuries and everything, maybe that's obviously Thorburn is somebody you want to get off the line eventually.
Sure.
Especially on the off wing, which is, he doesn't play the left wing, although he's been playing it for 2 years now, but that's not his natural position, or a season in a bit. But if you have, you know, Byfuglien, Lowry, and, you know, Perreault, or so that changes the line too, because he's smaller, but I thought Perreault also had a good game. There's options there, skill options, and,
They're getting closer to being back to full strength. It was reported during the game, Evander Kane Sarah Orlowski, TSN Jets, or TSN 3, I guess. Evander Kane's going to go on the road trip with the Jets as they embark on this week-long four-game road trip to the metropolitan New York area and then next Sunday in Chicago. So I think we're closer to seeing Evander Kane back in the Jets lineup rather than further away.
We are, and then you'll see exactly, you know, it's a huge, obviously a huge omission when he's not on the ice, but the Jets, aside from him, haven't had any injuries, really.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's, you know.
Well, which, I mean, it's a big injury.
But they have, it is a big injury, but they're 8 games into the season now.
Yeah.
So, I'm saying you're going to have your full roster going for this trip if he's back.
That's right.
Usually teams don't have full roster at any point in the season. So, what I'm trying to say there is this is the GM's team now, and this is, everybody's on board.
That's right.
So, there'll be no excuses.
The Avs were able to tie the game at 1-1 at the 19:42 mark of the first period. It came on the power play. Jamie McGinn gets his third goal of the year, assisted Tyson Barrie and Alex Tanguay.
Yeah, Tanguay just pushes the puck. You know, he makes a nice pass across the blue line. He plays on the point there with Barrie on that unit. And Barry's on his off wing, takes a slap shot. It's a big shot. Of course, apparently people on Twitter were blaming Andre Pavlik, which they always do. Big shot from Tyson Barrie, who's a good skill guy. And the rebound come out, and just Mark Stewart lost his guy. Mark Stewart's guy was McGinn, and kind of fighting for that puck there. And McGinn got the puck and put it past Pavlik. So, Stewart probably want that back at the battle. He usually, you know, is hard on those battles. And he's hard this time. He just lost the puck.
Yeah.
And McGinn's a big guy, and he put it behind it. So, again, all three goals tonight were actually very simple goals.
Yeah.
It wasn't complicated errors that took place. It was just wanting it more or just playing simple.
Put the puck on net and let good things happen.
Yeah.
You, Andrei Pavlik, you mentioned him. People giving him blame for that first goal. Don't see much praise when he makes a game-saving save in overtime on Gabriel Landeskog when he's in on a breakaway.
Yeah, absolutely, Drew. And I'm not here to tell you it's Patrick Roy, but you know when he's good, you got to call it as it is.
Yeah,
that was really good today.
22 saves.
The team was better around him. You know, not as many backdoor one-timers like last game.
And right.
It's the goalie and the team. It's that relationship. It's not.
They're not in a vacuum.
They're not in a vacuum, exactly.
The seam passes that were there all game Tampa Bay weren't there for Colorado at all tonight.
No, absolutely. That's
22 out of 23 saves for Andrei Pavlik tonight.
Yeah.
So, again, a nice showing for him. Certainly not. Like you said, he's not Patrick Roy, but a nice showing for Andrei Pavlik tonight. The Jets end up winning the game at the 4:36 mark of overtime, 4:35 officially. The goal belongs to Brian Little so far. Assist to Andrew Ladd and Dustin Byfuglien on this one.
Ladd just curls around. Around the top of the left side of the offensive zone from right to left, from the circle up to the blue line, and he curls around the defender and backhands the puck softly on goal. And it just gets tipped by Little on its way in and gets through Varlamov. Again, simple goal. Puts the puck on net. Not that hard. Tippable shot. Puck goes through. This isn't rocket science.
No.
You know. There's one chance, and I thought Brian Little had a really good game, but one chance Brian Little steps into the slot and tries to make a pass. It's like, just shoot. Just keep it simple. Again, you're not good enough to play a complicated, you know, pass.
Points for prettiness.
Like Sagan, Ben, and Spezza, right? You're not going to be doing that. So you got to keep it simple. And I thought today's game is how the Jets will be able to stay in this thing for a bit. Not how long? For a bit, if they play this way.
Simple.
Not as many mistakes. Clearing the front of the net. Pavlik being solid. That's going to be their calling card. Now they're going on the road now, and they're playing an Islanders team that wants to play 6-5 game. If they get into that game with the Islanders, they will lose. Islanders got a lot of firepower now. Grabowski's back as of last night, I believe. So the Rangers probably, the Jets play this style. It'll be a close game. And the Devils, you know, they got a lot of scores, but their defense isn't great. So, I mean, and then Chicago's a whole different story on the second half of a back-to-back. But those first three, you know, if you play this way, you're gonna win at least one or two of those games.
Yeah.
If you play this way. But if you don't, and you play the way they have been playing, you could go 0-4. And that's probably what Maurice is selling to them in the room right now.
That's right. Good start. Keep it going along those lines. Looking at the time on ice during today's game, it looks like Andrew Ladd led all... No, pardon me. Brian Little leads all forwards with 23 minutes and 26 seconds of ice time. Toby Enstrom logs 26 minutes and 49 seconds to lead all Winnipeg Jets defensemen. It's a 2-1 final for the Jets today against the Colorado Avalanche. The Jets next in action Tuesday night, Long Island, Nassau Memorial County Coliseum against the New York Islanders. We will be back Wednesday evening, NHL midweek on TSN 1290, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Stay tuned for that, of course. For analyst Richard Pollock and producer Michael Remus, for Dave Minuk and Ezra Ginsberg doing yeoman's work in the dressing rooms getting audio from the players, I'm your host, Drew Mandel. Thanks for listening. This has been the Illegal Curve post-game podcast.